bless you all this morning. It's good to see everyone. I'm looking for the, I guess I'll just use this morning. Sounds good. How many of you had a great Christmas? Huh? God is good, isn't he? Facebook really helps you kind of keep up on everything that's going on. So it was fun to check things out. There were a lot of great things. There were a few shocking things, but anyways, we won't even go there. Why don't we just open in prayer as I bring the word this morning. Before I pray, I just want to share my heart. I want to share a couple of things that transpired a few weeks ago when I was in South Sudan and Uganda. And if you're not aware, this is the last Sunday of the year, and Marcy and I have, you know, stepped down as senior leaders, so this is my last Sunday ministering at GHCC. I thought I said GRCC. GHCC. As the senior leader, I'll still be around as an elder and involved. Really want to see God build a bridge between here and our community, our region, this state, the nation, as well as the whole world. So let's open in prayer. Jesus, thank you for another day of life. Thank you that your mercies are new this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of family, the gift of life. Jesus, thank you for the gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that you anoint the word this morning, that you bring forth your word, that you would speak to our hearts, God. I just want to share from my heart this morning some things that would be my desire that we would walk in, truly walk in as believers. So I pray that you open our hearts and our minds to receive the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do want to share a few things about Africa, but I really, this morning, I want to share a word with you that I want to walk out as a person that I've sought really with all my heart to walk out as a believer, and I want to see us as a body. My desire would be that each and every one of us walk out the Christian life as a champion for Christ. And so the title of my message is, Am I Walking as a Champion for Christ? Now I'm going to go back and talk about Africa, but truly do we just talk about being more than a conqueror? Do we talk about being a champion, or do we really understand what it is and walk in what that is? So we want to look at that, but it's good to see Pastor Scott this morning all the way. I don't know, did anyone welcome you back yet? I was in Everett one Sunday. Why don't you stand up, our missionary to Uganda. Well, actually, many different nations. Co-worker. We are working together with World Outreach Ministry Foundation. We have over 200 churches. Over 10,000 kids in our schools in different nations. I mean, God's doing amazing things, but it doesn't come without a fighting. So a few weeks ago, I was in Uganda and South Sudan. We met as leaders in Uganda and then went into South Sudan. There were some difficulties taking place, and I bring this up just to say, please be praying for South Sudan. Last year, I had shared with you that our compound manager, really a key figure in the ministry there, Benjamin, was arrested, and he's been in prison, and we've been praying for a supernatural release. Well, this is supernatural, because in Sudan, they joke about it, but if you're arrested for something, they beat you and torture you to get you to admit that you did it, whether you did it or not. It's just the way they do it. And then if you end up dying, well, you just... people disappear all the time. So the fact that Benjamin is still alive over a year later is a miracle. But while I was there, we got word that Benjamin had been let out of prison in Juba. His wife is there, his children. He has to go back to prison at night and sleep, but he's free to move throughout the day. And so that's just a huge testimony of God's faithfulness. Amen. And his power. So thank you for praying. Continue to pray. Well, in South Sudan, witchcraft is, it's just so heavy and so prevalent. It's interesting how you can go to a border of a nation and you can cross over a border and feel different spirits. And there is such oppression in South Sudan, but there's a lot of groundwork that's been laid, a foundation's being laid for an open heaven and for the glory of God to be in South Sudan. Amen? That's our dream. That's our prayer. That's what God spoke to Ron and I when we were fasting and praying 15, 16 years ago. And so we've seen a lot of forward momentum, but it's just sad the power that a witch doctor has over people. And so we need to see that bound and broken. But in our school, the headmaster, there was a student that got sick. He went home. And at some point in time, he lived for about 2 or 3 months. But at some point in time, the parents went to a witch doctor. And the witch doctor said that the headmaster put a curse on him. And so there were a number of people up in here. In fact, the witch doctor said there would be 5 more kids, and this kid ended up dying. And he said, well, there are 5 other kids that have been cursed by the headmaster, and they're going to die. So literally there were people seeking to kill our headmaster of the primary school in South Sudan. Now, praise the Lord, the timing of God was right on when myself and Pastor Kwesa, he's our chairman of the board in Uganda, we went into South Sudan. But we need to pray for breakthrough. They're on a break right now. The school is gone. The PH students set for their exams, and which is a big deal in a country, and they're going to hear the results in a couple of months. But we need to pray for protection over Peter and his wife and his children. And we need to pray protection over the compound and the schools that we've got and the medical clinic. But God prophesied, God spoke a word a number of years ago when we were praying that a song of the Lord would rise from South Sudan. And that's what I believe with all of my heart. We believe really as a ministry, and you're involved in it, World Outreach Ministry Foundation, we want to deliberately invest in the next generation and see them raised up. If we're going to change a nation, and that's what we are called to do, is disciple nations. See the future of a nation changed. And so we are deliberately investing in young men and young women, not just educating them, but discipling them in the ways of the Lord so that they don't have to be bound in fear and by witch doctors tossed this way and that way. And we are seeing a lot of momentum, but the enemy hates that. Amen? But greater is he in us than he that is in the world. I'll be honest with you. If you've never faced a witch doctor or someone chanting things, it can be intimidating, but we don't have to be intimidated because greater is he in us than he that is in the world. And I love this saying that Ron said for years, and I believe it with all my heart. When we show up, the enemy should have a nervous breakdown. Amen? Because God's people, called, authorized, seated with him, empowered by Christ, him living in us, is greater than he that is in the world. And so we are seeing that, but I'm just asking you to pray for the work there. And I've got one other request. In March, I'm going back to Uganda and into South Sudan, and I need someone who's good at taking pictures and video and can even do video things like whatever you call it, editing, video editing. So I'm just going to throw that out to you right now. If God lays it on your heart this morning, would you come up and talk to me and just say, hey, I'm interested. Let's begin to pray about it. March the 13th, we would be leaving Uganda. for about 3 weeks. So we need that. All right. We'll continue to pray. We just opened a new work in Ghana. There's a crusade going on and in Tanzania, and God's doing amazing things. All right? So thank you for your prayers the last few weeks. All right. Am I walking as a champion for Christ? I want to read a few verses, and I apologize. I don't have a PowerPoint, which I guess is okay. Open up your phones, your iPads, your Bible, the written word if you've got it, and let's look at some verses together. Romans 8, 31 to 38, I want to begin with, and I'm going to look at a few other passages in my message this morning. And then actually my wife, Marcy, is going to come up and she's going to kind of give the conclusion to the message. Amen. You're probably saying, why don't you just let her get up now and let her bring the message? And I would, because it would be far better. But I'm going to try to share a few things. Romans 8, 31 through 38. It says, so what shall we say about this? If God is for us, who can defeat us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all. So with Jesus, God will surely give us all things. Who can accuse the people of God? Who can accuse the people God has chosen? No one, because God is the one who makes them right. Who can say God's people are guilty? No one, because Jesus Christ died, but he was also raised from the dead, and now he is on God's right side, appealing to God for us. Can anything separate us from the love Christ has for us? Can troubles or problems or suffering or hunger or nakedness or danger or violent death? As it is written in the scriptures, for you were in danger of death all the time. People think you are worth no more than sheep to be killed. But in all these things, we are completely victorious through God who showed his love for us. Another translation says, we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. But it says here, we are completely victorious through God. My desire would be that we as born again believers truly know what it is to be completely victorious and to walk out victorious lives. I believe that's what the world is waiting and looking for. And while I want to stop there for a minute, because I don't see Pastor Dave and Darlene. He had surgery a couple weeks ago, and he's not been feeling well. Could we just join in faith this morning for any infection in his body to dry up in Jesus' name and for his body to be strengthened? Father God, we lift up Pastor Dave. We thank you for his faithfulness. We thank you for the call on his life, Lord. We thank you that there's a lot still in him. And so, Lord, we pray for a complete recovery, healing in his body in Jesus' name. We speak to this infection in Jesus' name to dry up and go. And we believe that by your stripes, he is healed. We declare that this morning. Not only would you heal him, but raise him up, Father God. This morning, may he be invigorated. May he just be overwhelmed as you, Holy Spirit, brood over he and Darlene both. In Jesus' name, amen. For sports fans, this is a pretty exciting time of year, isn't it? I see a couple Seahawk jerseys. I mean, it's getting close to the finish line. The Seahawks are in the playoffs. And it really is fun in the National Football League, jockeying for position and see where teams are going to be and who's going to be in the playoffs and who's not. When we think of champions, we think of those who win sports titles usually, don't we? Either as a team or through individual efforts. It's not easy to become a champion. It takes determination, practice, exercise, discipline, and yes, commitment to never give up, never give in, never back down, never back up, never sit down, never quit or walk away until victory is achieved. God has given each of us the heart of a champion far beyond the field of athletic endeavor. He says we are more than conquerors, right? Victorious, completely victorious through God. Much like a good earthly father wants his children to be champions in whatever they undertake, Our heavenly Father desires that we, his children, win in the game called life. We always refer to Jesus as a conqueror, one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. But we don't really call him champion very often. And yet he is a champion. Throughout history, conquerors are those who went to war where there was a spilling of blood. That's why Jesus was and is a conqueror. He spilled blood. He overcame demonic oppression to become a champion for our salvation. In order for us to be conquerors, we must first become champions in the areas of our lives where we've been given a vision, a goal, a dream, or a calling. Are you hearing me this morning? We're called to be more than conquerors, but we've got to understand and walk as a champion in life, stewarding what God has put in us and called us to. Does that make sense? It's not just sitting around waiting for God to do something. We've got to learn and walk in and function in be disciplined to walk as a champion walks. Amen? We must prevail as champions over the areas where we've been given stewardship. We are called to be more than conquerors. Listen to me. Winning is in your DNA. Winning is in our DNA. The Most High God breathed his life into you and to me. It's so important for us to get this truth down in our heart and see ourselves as more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. If not, then Satan will frustrate and confuse us and keep us from victory. And unfortunately, there are many believers that walk at that level. And all the enemy wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy what God wants us to have. Just read John 10:10. He's a thief that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to give us life and life to the fullest. The enemy wants to diminish you, make you small-minded and small in spirit, so you'll live in a small, frustrated life. But God wants us to walk victorious. Amen? So I want to give you 8 things champions or conquerors don't do. And then I'm going to try to get through 12 things that champions do. Now that's a lot, isn't it? Okay. Whatever your situation is today, I want you to know this. God knows about it. He sees you and hears the cry of your heart. And if you will give him your problems and do what he tells you to do, listen to me. If you will give him your problems and do what he tells you to do, the champion of our salvation, the great conqueror, knows how to conquer and knows how to instill in us the heart and the principles of a champion. So we've got to listen to him. And whatever he tells us to do, you will access his overcoming love, grace, and power and be more than a conqueror. Because in Christ, as he is, so are we in this world. So, 8 things champions don't do. You ready? Are you taking notes? It's my heart. Let's get it in our heart, in our spirit this morning. Number 1, champions don't assume the worst. I'm going to be very practical with these first 8 things. Champions don't assume the worst. It's amazing how many problems would not exist if we didn't invent them. I'm serious. Champions know that leaping to conclusions is usually a bad idea. I mean, you don't get a text. Let's narrow it down to super practical. You don't get a text. I mean, you text someone and they don't text you back 3 or 4 hours or even all day long, and you begin wondering, do they even like me? Do they even care? Rather than assuming, maybe they're really busy. Maybe things are going on. Maybe they're out of range of connection. Maybe their battery went dead. Maybe their phone, they lost it. Or it got flushed down the toilet. You know what I'm saying? You never know. Don't assume the worst. Number 2, champions don't hold on to resentment. Period. Do I need to go very long with this? Resentment will steal and zap life from you. A champion knows how to accept what's happened, forgive, and move on. And say, God, use me. Work it out for good so that I could be used by you to help others. Amen? Number three, champions don't forget the little things. It's easy to forget the little things, certainly. I mean, it is. You know what I'm saying? But champions make it a habit to remember. You may forget some things, but a habit to remember even the little things. And they express gratitude for every blessing, no matter how big or how small. Otherwise, we could become discontent and discouraged. Thank you, God, for life. My home might not be the biggest home, but man, we got a roof over our head. And when it was cold, we're warm on the inside. You know what I'm saying? It looks like no one's starving here in this place. We encountered a lady in South Sudan. When we stopped, she was just crying in pain. And you talk about starving to death, just a shell of a woman. And we did everything we could to help give her food and medicine and say, not just pray for her, but love her with practical things. But there are so many things we could be thankful for. Number four, champions don't see problems as problems. The word problems is seen as challenges for champions. They believe that every obstacle comes as an opportunity that is yet to be discovered. If we would look at problems as opportunities, as challenges, all right, Holy Spirit, how do you want us to get through it? Man, it's how he teaches us, how he grows us up. So, listen, a champion sees it as an opportunity. A loser sees it as overwhelming odds. And why even try? And they give up. I mean, just look at David and Goliath. David saw Goliath as an opportunity, right? Not a problem. Number five, champions don't expect something for nothing. Champions don't fall for the lose weight fast, the get rich quick scams. You know what I'm saying? They understand that things require hard work. I think sometimes we've misused the word faith. There is a time and a place for God speaking into us. But I'm going to show you an example of David after God spoke to him. Faith was him actually stepping out and going after the enemy. Faith is not just sitting and waiting for God to do everything. There are disciplines we've got to have in our life to see things happen. Michael Jordan, how many of you would agree that one of the best, if not the greatest basketball player ever? And yet he was cut from the team in 10th grade. But he continued to practice and work hard, and he became the best at what he did. Number six, champions don't get bored. Oh, man. Yeah. If the word bored comes out of your mouth, boy, that bugs me. When people say, I'm bored, I just say, only a boring person can get bored. Right? But think about it. Listen. Champions don't get bored. Boredom is a place where creativity, inspiration, and productivity die. Champions are fascinated by everything around them. They explore the world with enthusiasm and curiosity, asking as many questions as they can. A champion is willing to ask questions. I mean, let's learn what it is. Every single day of life is an adventure. A champion doesn't say, I'm waiting till tomorrow. God, what do you have in store for me today? What am I learning today? Number seven, champions don't let negative thoughts hijack their brain. I am just amazed, and it grieves me. And honestly, I have to fight for it in my own mind. Stepping out and leading World Outreach Ministry Foundation is so much bigger than me. There's so many things that are up in the air as I step into 2016, except that God. is in charge, in control. He's our provider. He's our everything. He's the beginning and the end. He calls. Amen? And I have to trust that. But we don't let negative thoughts hijack our brain. But here's what's baffling to me. Why we believe everything the devil throws at us and then debate and hardly believe anything that God says about us. Why is that? A champion learns to stop any thought that's trying to hijack our brain, because we understand, a champion understands the battle's won and lost right here. Amen? I could say more, but I won't. Number eight, a champion, they don't make comparisons with others. Champions understand that everyone is different, so they don't compare themselves to other people. They are confident about what they have and what they do. A champion gets to the point where he says, I am what I am. God, you made me. Honestly, I think one of the deadliest, can I call it a sin, preventing people from becoming champions is the sin of comparison. It'll steal life from you. It'll rob what God has. When we begin to compare, you'll never measure up to other people. You don't have the gifts that they have. You have the gifts that God gave you and wanted you to function in and walk in and exercise. The world doesn't need two of me. And the world doesn't need two of you. They need one of you functioning in your gift. I love this quote. I read it, I think, on the airplane. I was reading a book a couple of weeks ago, but it says, everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. Now let's personalize that. Everybody really is a genius. You were created by God to do what God shaped, formed, and fashioned you to do and to be. But if you judge someone by the ability of someone else, that person can live their whole life believing they're stupid and never add up. Champions don't compare themselves to other people. They blaze a new trail. Amen? All right. 11 things champions do. Are you ready? I want to say it again, so I hope you're getting it. I was praying the last couple of weeks and saying, God, what's something that would be in your heart that I would just want to, I guess, leave with GHCC? The greatest thing in my heart would be to see each of you walking in your call, in your purpose, in your destiny. And it doesn't have to be 10 years from now. You don't need a degree to pray for someone. You don't need a degree to share. You don't need 10 years of sitting. You need no years of sitting. You need to be born again, get God's word and God's truth in you, and begin walking it out. Amen? Yeah. Yes. That's what a champion does. 11 things champions do. Number one, a champion reads God's word. Yeah. We've got to read God's word on purpose. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved by God, a workman that is not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That word study, it has to do with work. Discipline. A champion is someone who is disciplined. I think it was Chuck Norris that said one time, he did not fear someone who could kick 1,000 different kicks, but he feared someone who could kick one kick and had practiced it 1,000 times or 10,000 times. You hear what I'm saying? It's discipline. It's learning. It's doing things. A champion reads God's word. In fact, a champion is a reader. And there are benefits to reading God's word. Bill Gates is an avid reader. In fact, here's what he said. Every night before bed, he spends an hour reading a book, ranging in topics from politics to current events. But aside from the benefit of gaining knowledge, there is a study that was conducted. Number one, reading reduces stress. How many of you know in America we need stress reduced? A 2009 study from the University of Essex revealed that reading for as little as 6 minutes a day can reduce stress levels up to 68%. Another big benefit from reading on a nightly basis is that it can improve the long-term health of your brain. Every time you read, it's like a mental workout for your mind. This study performed in Britain showed that people who stimulated their minds through activities like reading reduced cognitive decline by an average of 32% as they got older in age. Listen, as we get older, and I'm saying we, because I am starting to get a little bit older. My birthday's in a couple days. I want to be sharp. I want to be sharp because I want to be able to pass on to the next generation. I want to have something to offer them. Unfortunately, I'll tell you, one thing that we've lost in America or are losing in America, I pray that we're not. I'm just going to say it again today. We need not old people, but older people. We need your wisdom. We need your insight. Listen, the world, the younger generations are craving input from grandpas and grandmas. Amen? And if reading helps keep your brain alive, then do it. Champions are readers. And first and foremost, champions read God's word and meditate on God's word. Number two, God's champions position themselves for blessings. Psalms chapter 1 says this, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers." Listen, there's so much garbage out there today that's seen or put up there as truth. But listen to what God says. "But champions, they delight in the law of the Lord. Meditating on it day and night, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." You want the greatest key of being a champion? He says right here, you will prosper in all you do. That's a champion there. How? By meditating on God's word day and night. Not just reading it, speed reading it to get through, but meditating is taking it and asking God to apply it and to like to chew it up and swallow it and say, "God, help me implement this. Help it become alive to me. That it not only flows into me, but it flows out of me. That I'm not just gaining information, but I'm experiencing it." Amen? You hear what I'm saying? "And whatever you do will prosper." I believe we've got to, man, the power of life and death is in our mouth as champions. And we've got to speak life and not death. I'm kind of jumping ahead, but let me just skip this. Let me say this, though. At night, there's something about meditating on God's word and going to bed meditating on God's word. Honestly, I think Americans, they did a study where they showed that if your cell phone is by your bed, and I'm still guilty of it, I need to move it. But if your cell phone's by your bed and you're hearing it ring, make noises, and the light coming on, it actually affects your sleep and you don't get as good, solid sleep that you want or desire. There's something about stepping away and meditating. And I've been contemplating this. In a couple days, I'm going to get away for 3 days and fast and pray. There's going to be a group of us. And I realize, I would say in America, it would be harder to fast electronics, the internet, and video games than it would food. And Americans love food. So that's saying a lot. I think there's something about meditating on God's word, disconnecting, unplugging from the noise of everything going on to hear God's voice. And he says, whatever you do will prosper. There's a key to being a champion. Number three, everyone stumbles, but God's champions get back up. Period. God's champions refuse to accept defeat as long as God is in the battle. In times of weakness, God's champions pull themselves up in his strength. In times of personal famine, God's champions feast on his word and drink on his faithfulness. In times of sorrow, God's champions turn to his presence and rest in his arms. Just look at the story of David in 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30, basically, David and his men are out fighting. They get back to Ziklag, and everything's stolen. Their families, their wives, their children, all of their possessions. David's men want to kill David, and what does David do? He encourages himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and then he said, God, what do I do? And God said, here's the battle plan. Go defeat your enemy. I'm grateful that his idea of faith was not sitting with his face down in a chair in a building and saying, okay, this is faith. But when God spoke, he stepped out and he did, and he went for it. Amen? And he defeated the enemy. Champions hear the word of the Lord, and they do it. How many classes have we gone to, and we've heard teaching, and we probably forgot about it because we never applied it to our life? How many times has God told us to do something? Something little, something small. And we don't do it. A champion listens to the voice of God and does something with it. Amen? Number five, champions never give up. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. Amen? Have you ever heard the story of Dory Miller? He was a heavyweight boxing champion in the USS on the USS West Virginia, who was stationed in Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941. During the attack, Dory carried his wounded captain to safety and then manned a submachine gun and shot down three enemy planes. What makes this story even more dramatic is that Dory had never previously fired a machine gun. His assigned job was that of a mess attendant. He became the first African-American to receive the Navy Cross. In an instant at Pearl Harbor, this brave soldier made a life and death decision. When it came to operating that machine gun, he didn't say, "That's not my job." He rose to the occasion, and as a result, three enemy planes were prevented from creating further destruction and loss of life. The heart of a champion is someone who rises above ordinary to do the extraordinary. Amen? A champion serves others. It's not just about us. The Bible says that greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. It says it's better to give than to receive. It says if you want to be great in God's kingdom, be a servant of all. And I was thinking about that just this last, or a couple of weeks ago, the story of the Good Samaritan. God wants us to be champions in life. Everyone know the story of the Good Samaritan? It's a story where someone is beaten and he's robbed, and two men, religious leaders, walk by him and do nothing. The Good Samaritan comes to him, helps this man, and pays all of his doctor bills. You know, here's the tragedy. There are probably many believers today that could not afford to be the Good Samaritan. And yet God wants us. I mean, he told us. Who did the right thing? The Good Samaritan. He was a champion in life. I'm telling you, I think being a champion in life, it's not just a spiritual dimension. It's emotional and it's physical. It's being disciplined in all areas. But it's not just physical. It's being disciplined in the spirit realm. And God wants to bless us. I believe God wants to bless us even financially, so that when needs arise, we are the solution. Amen? To the problem. So champions serve others, and they have that desire to serve others. There's a man I met with a couple of weeks ago. He's a businessman. God has blessed him more than he's ever blessed him in years prior. I mean, this has been his greatest year of business ever. And as I'm talking to him, he kept saying, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And I said, you are. That's right. The power of life and death is in our mouth. Champions are blessed of God. They're aligned. They position themselves to receive God's blessing. And it's not just financial. It's in every aspect of life. But we've got to begin to understand God wants to bless us. Amen? So that we can turn around and be a blessing to others. And so then he's sharing his heart and his vision about God blessing this business to be able to impact the world. God wants to raise up champions that will have a heart to serve others, that will change the world. Number 7, champions take risks. They see opportunities, not problems. And the story is out of 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. Basically, 4 leprous men. The Samaria is besieged by the enemy, and they're sitting there, and they say, if we stay here, we die. Why don't we just go out to the enemy's camp? Perhaps they'll help us. We're dead meat here. If we go out, if we die, we're going to die anyways. Let's just go and see what happens. And here's what it says in 2 Kings chapter 7. Verse 5, so that evening they went out of the camp of the Arameans, but no one was there, for the Lord had caused the whole army of Aram to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. 4 men dying of leprosy sounded like a whole army of speeding chariots and galloping horses. So that the enemy panicked and they fled in the night, abandoning everything. They fled for their lives. When the lepers arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating, drinking, and carrying out silver and gold and clothing and hiding it. Then they realized, we can't hide this. And so they went back to the city and told them what had happened. Basically, a city was saved. I'm telling you, champions will take risks. And it will stand, and then God anoints it, and it can sound like a mighty army, and there are people that are waiting to be freed if we will step out and walk as champions. God, help us to get outside of just thinking about it, but functioning and walking in it. Maple Valley, South King County needs champions for Christ to see the gospel move forward. When was the last time you took a risk? That's our question this morning. When was the last time you took a risk? Number 8, God's champions refuse to just be. God's champions are becomers. I'm not just content to be, I'm becoming. Number 9, God's champions seek out and fulfill their call from the Lord. David fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation. Then he died. Number 10, champions guard what they say. The power of life and death is in my mouth. I know I've said this before, but God help us. I love that this person last week kept saying, I'm blessed. We are blessed. And we need to remember the things and receive and declare it and walk in it and call it forth. The Bible says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is useful for the building up of others. Amen? Listen, we've got to stop the talk about ourselves first that puts us down. Can you do it? No. Could 4 lepers do it? No. They were willing in faith to step out of the city gates and go for it. And then the Holy Spirit anointed that act of what they did. If we will step out in faith, if we will trust, if we will believe God, if we will speak words of life, then God will take and anoint and do what only He can do. Amen? Finally, number 11, champions pray. And Marcy's going to come up here and share.
And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you to be strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything that the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it is all over, but the shouting, you will still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You will need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open and keep other spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. I'm reading out of the Message of Ephesians 6. You know, a lot of times you probably know it as the weapons that God gives us, the helmet of righteousness. But I read it through the Message, and it just so impacted my heart. The one thing I will say is the armor of God. He gives us that armor of God. But then at the end, you know what he does? He says, pray. Pray hard. That's what's going to work. He gives you all this, but pray, pray, and don't stop praying. And I just feel, too, that champions, we learn how to pray. And I know myself, I don't stand up here and just point my finger at you and say, pray, pray, pray. I pointed at myself because I really feel like I was thinking of this new year to come. And, you know, we always come up with resolutions that probably never, ever matter. But I thought my resolution this year is that, God, you would teach me to pray like never before. Teach me to fight in prayer like never before. And I just want to encourage you to pray like never before. We need to pray for not only our nation, for the whole world. We need to hear the voice of God. Like Ed said, it's so true. Why do we believe so much what the enemy says, but we don't believe what God says? That's mixed up. That's really mixed up. But I want to show you a clip. I'm sure many of you have seen it. But I love this clip. It's from the war room, and I just want you to go ahead and watch this.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm, and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle, that we may proclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
If you want to just stand up. Lord, we do. We thank you, Father. God, we stand together.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And Lord, even as we saw this clip, God, I pray you would raise us up.
Yes, Lord.
God, we want to be a people that will seek your face. That God, even in your words, it says, in the good times be happy, but in the bad times consider you have made one as well as the other. And Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good, and you are great. Lord, I just pray over each one of these families today, and I thank you, God, for the year that you gave us in 2015. That God, we are still standing. We are standing with your armor on. And Lord, we want to learn to take your armor and to pray. Pray with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength. I speak strength over each family this year. I speak healing and health over each family. God, I just declare and prophesy over each one of the minds in this church. I bind the attacks of the enemy that has caused so much confusion in their minds. And I call forth your spirit to arise and shine upon us, Almighty God. Arise and shine on each one, Lord, that is here today and those that did not make it here today. Lord, I pray your blessing on each family member at GHCC. I pray your blessing on the new ones that are here, the new ones that are yet to come. I pray, oh God, for our nation. I pray for Maple Valley. I pray for our state of Washington and for our nation. Almighty God, have mercy on our nation.
Yes.
God, I pray for our world. Because, Lord, you say to love you and love others. Yes. And you tell us to go into all the world and preach your gospel. Lord, I just declare, I pray that you right now would release an anointing over each one in this room. That, God, you would empower us like never before. That, Lord, you would come and you would touch each mouth with a coal. That, Lord, would we open our mouth this new year of 2016, you are what will come out of it. God, I speak healing over people. I speak your power of healing. God, I reach into the heavens and I pull out a new heart for my grandbaby. I pull out healing for people in this room. I speak to the cancers, to the tumors, to the infections, and we bind them in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We declare and prophesy healing. God, I prophesy healing to the brokenhearted, that you will heal every wound, that God, people would raise up in you like never before, that the fruits of the Spirit would so be upon their lives, that even in the hard times, they will rejoice in you, O oh God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
God, may this year be a year of joy. May we laugh at the things to come. Because you are great and you are awesome.
Yes, yes.
And your word has a happy ending.
Yes.
That means we have to be happy and rejoice in that. Lord, there is a happy ending.
Yes, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. God, I speak blessing. Bless, bless, you, bless Jesus. My family and friends today. Bless them, O Lord, indeed, and expand their territories this year. Let your hand be upon them and keep them from all evil. God, may you bless them and keep them. Yes. May your face shine upon them and be gracious to them this day.
Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father God, I pray that you would raise up champions. Well, you do. You raise up champions. May we respond to you, Holy Spirit. In fact, I just feel, Holy Spirit, as we are praying, would you speak to us, each one of us, Lord, things in our heart, areas in our life that you're calling us to take a step up in 2016. Lord, is there an area in my life that you want me to step in with determination to champion that area, to see your blessings flow, Lord, to position myself, God, that we, each one of us, would be positioned, Father, for the releasing of your blessings to flow through us. God, I desire that we be, you desire that we be more than conquerors through you, Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Lord, I pray that 2016, in fact, we just repent if we've allowed fear to rise up through the reports of the news or people, but God, in faith, we declare that 2016 is the year for champions to arise in all that you have for us. Lord, that we would be salt and light to this earth. Lord, we would not shrink back, but we would move forward in you. God, that you would use us. Lord, that we would be conduit of your Spirit, your presence, your power. Lord, blessing everything we do because we're meditating upon you. We're calling upon you. We're being faithful, Father God. Lord, may we be faithful to what you have called us to be. And Lord, we repent where we have compared ourselves to others and become discouraged. We repent where we have believed the lie of the enemy and not what you say about us. We repent where we have not taken time to allow our minds to be washed by your word and then to hear your word. We repent where you have spoken to us like you spoke to David and you gave him the strategy and he went after the enemy. God, we repent where you have spoken to us and we have not stepped out in faith. Lord, we're determined to step out and to be obedient to you this year. Thank you, Jesus, for Generational Hope Christian Center.
Lord, I just also speak right now. I just feel in my heart that there may be one or two that you are more than a conqueror. That it doesn't matter the things that you have done, but God has never left you. He's still there for you. Stop running. Surrender. I speak to the battle in that mind. God loves you. God loves you. He wants you just where you're at. God, I just pray over, Lord, who that is today. And I just speak just peace over that mind. I just encourage even all of you that you just begin to start saying, I am a conqueror. I am loved. I am peaceful. I am joyful. I am prosperous. I am blessed. God, I pray that this year that we would prophesy who we are and who you say we are. God, if you want us to walk in your image, you knew who you were, and you desire for us to know who we are.
Yes, Lord.
Kids of the Most High God.
Yes, Lord.
Kids of the Most High God.
Yes.
That is who we are.
Yes, yes.
I declare that we will believe it.
Yes, Lord.
No more battles in the mind.
Yes, Lord. Father, thank you that our DNA is victorious in you. And I break off any shame or condemnation. It would be the enemy that would lie to you and say, well, you haven't walked this way yet. Today's a new day. Today's a new day, and God's mercies are new today for you. Amen. And I just echo what Marcy said. I believe there is someone here that you've known the Lord. You've walked away from the Lord. And God's calling you today. And he says he loves you. He knows you. Nothing you have done can separate you from his love or his grace or his forgiveness or his mercy. The key is just coming to him. Father God, I just repent. We repent, Lord, for anything that would hinder, that would step in the way of our relationship with you. And we surrender everything. A champion is someone who has a surrendered life. Lord, we choose to surrender everything to you. In Jesus' name. Now, Holy Spirit, anoint us and go with us. May we walk out of these doors full of your Holy Spirit, ready for, expectant for divine appointments. Use us, Holy Spirit of God, walking as a believer, as a follower of you, Jesus, empowered by you, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Hug some necks before you go. Washing.